You're all probably wondering what I'm going to talk about tonight because I've never done this before. And you may not want me to do it again, but we're going to try tonight. I'm a storyteller. I also speak very, very slowly. That's why you'll notice there's no songs tonight. Because I speak very, very slowly and I breathe in between words. I'm going to talk about a friend of mine, Bill. But he has asked me to just offer one thought for all of you that, because he knows I talk slow, that at some point you may have to turn the other cheek tonight during my talk. So just bear with me. But talk about a friend of mine, Bill, and his life the last 2 years, a little traumatic for him. But we're going to start with the spring of 2003. When Bill was diagnosed with depression and ADD. He was 53 years old, and he was told he had depression. That was a little traumatic for him that wasn't quite ready for it. So he started seeing the therapist about every 3 or 4 months. Then along came the summer of 2007, had a traumatic experience that changed his life. And saw his therapist after that, and she basically said, you need to see somebody once a week, not once every 3 or 4 months. Only she couldn't see him, so she recommended another therapist, and that was fine. So he started seeing this therapist once a week. And after about the 50th week, she threw up her hands because she couldn't get Bill to do what she wanted him to do. He tried and nothing worked. And she'd been doing this for 35 years. So she's been around the block a few times. They even tried equestrian therapy. And that didn't work either. She presented him some problems. He solved them in ways she'd never seen before, but it didn't solve his depression. So she gave him this standardized depression test. It was 576 true-false questions. He took it in her office. And it's one of those where you can go to somebody's website, take the test, press submit, and then all of a sudden the results come back. Well, she took the first page of the results, looked at it, and she didn't really finish even the first paragraph. And she knew. And I guess you could say that Bill aced the test because she knew why she had failed and couldn't reach Bill. And I could say, this is after 50 sessions. His depression was 3 times as bad as she thought it was. So she couldn't reach him. She had no way to reach him. His soul was so buried. Nobody could find it. Bill couldn't find it. She couldn't find it. It wasn't there. It's like fishing in the ocean and you want to catch something on the bottom and your line only goes out 100 feet. You're not going to catch anything. And she couldn't. So then a few more months later, she had an awakening in a sense that... She went over to, here again talking with Bill, and kind of looked him in the eye and said, you need your head examined. Only she meant it. She felt that since she couldn't reach him, and this is, like I say, she'd been doing this for 35 years, that something else had to be happening to Bill. Didn't know what, because she's not a doctor, but she just knew something wasn't, could be some interference. So she recommended a brain clinic up in Tacoma, Washington. They do spec scans of the brain. That's all they do. They've been doing them for 25 years. So Bill went up there and had his brain scanned twice. Then on the third day, he sat with the doctor and he had all these nice scans out on the table and all in color and everything, and starts to tell Bill, "You see those white spots?" "Yes, yeah, so what?" Because Bill really didn't care about anything at that time. That's what his depression was telling him. But the doctor goes, "No, you see those white spots?" "Yes, yeah, so what?" "Well, that's brain damage." "So what else is new?" "I've known that for years." But he asked Bill, "That you played baseball, didn't you?" "Well, yeah." He goes, "Well, all kids who played baseball have those white spots from getting hit in the head with a baseball. Everybody has those. Don't worry about it. Not going to bother you. Not going to affect you in any way. I just wanted to get those off the table so you didn't ask, what do those white spots mean?" But he told Bill that his brain was like a car with no gas, no oil, no air in the tires. All the tanks are empty, but it's traveling 100 miles an hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Never stops. Then Bill related the story that he'd had some sleep apnea tests taken about 3 or 4 months prior to that. He had to have a second one because he didn't believe the first one. So he had 14 hours of being plugged in head to toe. And some of that testing is you want to get your REM sleep because you're supposed to have REM sleep. Well, for Bill, he didn't have any REM sleep in 14 hours. Needle didn't move one bit. It stayed right where it was. So he had 0 minutes of REM sleep in 14 hours. But he had some other exciting activity. He had over 2,000 leg movements in those 14 hours. And he stopped breathing 588 times. But no REM sleep. So the doctor went, "Yeah, I can relate. That's exactly what he was trying to tell him. His brain was just moving so fast, it never stopped." But then the doctor went on to say that there's some solutions to this, to your problem. Problems basically that your brain doesn't work right. And of course, Bill goes, "Well, yeah, so what else is new? I've known that for years as well. I'm different. My brain doesn't work right. I know that." But what the doctor was saying was his brain wasn't producing the right amount of chemical levels in his brain that's supposed to be there all the time. So in a sense, his tanks were dry. But he put, the suggestion for Bill was to put him on supplements. And they're up on the board, or will be. Yep. That's what Bill has to take every day. And he has to take those every day for the rest of his life, just to bring the chemical levels to the right level in his brain. Doesn't give him any superpowers. Just makes it normal. But he has to do that every day for him. And Bill knows that those work because he now dreams. Didn't before, but now he does. And his brain has slowed down a little bit. But let's move on to February 2009. February 17th, to be exact, 10:30 in the morning. It was the 76th session he had with his therapist. And you talk about frustration. But she was persistent because she knew she was going to solve that problem with Bill. And all she wanted Bill to do was talk. Because Bill can talk on the surface level. You can, you know, "Hi, how are you?" "Fine." But he couldn't get any deeper than that. Couldn't get below that one level. And he tried and tried and tried. She tried to get it out of him. Couldn't do it. But on this particular morning, it's also his older son's birthday. It was one of the most agonizing days for Bill. Because he walked out of there completely drained physically, emotionally, in any other way you could. Sweating the whole time. Body ached. He had been doubled over in pain. Because Bill, or she, his therapist had been asking him the same question over and over again. But he could never get it out. And the question was, why are you the way you are? Kind of simple, but Bill couldn't answer it until that day. And that's after that session, that's when the therapist told Bill's wife at the time that a miracle happened in her office. Because Bill did speak, finally, after 76 hours of therapy. Came out a little bit, not real deep, but he got off the standard line of talking. And he answered her question, but that scared the hell out of her. She wasn't ready for it. Because what Bill told her, and he did it, like I said, he was agonizing pain, doubled over, but he spit it out, hardest thing to get out that day. But he told her the answer to her question of why was he the way he was. And he said, I'm mad at the world and I don't want anybody to know who I am. Now, but 2 months later, they realized that what happened to Bill when he was 7 months old caused all of that. And she figured since he was about three, he had had depression, created the depression. And he had been hiding himself from everybody for 56 years. That's older than Sherrod Brown. But he had purposely been hiding himself from everybody and himself for 56 years. His soul was so hidden in the cave that he didn't know anything was in there. But that day he knows that God came down, reached out, and pulled his soul out of the cave and brought it to the level of life. Bill also didn't know until then he had been doing this on purpose. He'd been purposely hiding himself from everybody for 56 years. That's over half a century. Long time. But God came down and lifted his soul out into reality, into life. And then after that, Bill wasn't hiding anymore. And he actually spoke. Because he didn't speak. But it's also like the you can read in Psalms 2. The Lord drew me up from the desolate pit out of the miry mog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. And that's exactly what took place. God brought him up to life. Been there ever since. So that was one problem that God solved for Bill, of getting his soul where it should be and getting him to talk. Well, Bill does talk, but he will never talk as fast as his younger son. Never. Now let's go on to July of 2010. Bill's facing another problem. Needs a new church home. He was going through a divorce. He was living alone, feeling alone, being alone. But he knew he had to find a new church home. And he knew this church was here. Didn't know anybody who attended, but he just knew it was here. And he'd just been laid off from his job. So we had a Sunday free. Walked in the front doors July 18th, 2010, 8:15 service. Sat down the back row, seven seats from the window. And he hadn't sat there very long. His seat didn't get warm until his person standing over here turns around and goes, "I know you, I know you." Well, she bounces over, all bubbles and curls, and says, "Hi, I'm Cheryl Brown. I know you." And Bill goes, "Fine, but I don't know you." Now, Bill knew right then and there he had found his church home. God told him to. He told him, "This is it. Don't go anywhere else. You found your church home." Just from Cheryl's introduction. He's been here ever since. Now, you have to ask Cheryl how she recognized Bill. Bill knows that God told her. But you have to ask Cheryl how she recognized Bill. Because they had been members at Hilltop. But Bill hadn't been there for 13 years. So it was a long time prior that Cheryl last saw Bill. But she remembered Bill. So you have to ask her how that occurred. But here again, another of Bill's problems was solved. God intervened this time using Cheryl Brown. Because Bill knew this is where he needed to be. And he stayed. Now let's move on to the men's Emmaus weekend. Let's pass February. Pastor Steve had invited Bill to attend. Bill didn't know anything about Emmaus weekend. Never heard of it. Didn't know anybody who had done it. He had heard it was men's walk to Emmaus. He thought he was going to walk for 3 days. Not quite. Not quite. But what he did do was he attended. But then on that Saturday night, after the men came in from walking out in the cold snow in Clearfield, they all got up front, kind of like this. It was tiered. And Bill was headed for the back row because he wasn't going to look up to anything. He was going to look down, kind of like a carpet inspector. He was just going to look down, stay in the back row, and hide. Well, he hadn't stood there very long till he realized that there are two thugs that belong to this church. Two ruffians, hooligans, physically picked him up, didn't politely ask, just picked him up and brought him down to the first row and said, "Stay there." Well, of course, Bill did. He had a gentleman on each side of him, didn't know who they were. He just knew that all three of them hadn't taken a shower for 3 days. It's the only thing they had in common. But Bill was looking down again because he wanted to inspect that carpet as well. But then he realized he kind of stands out. He was the only one wearing shorts. So in the front row, you kind of stand out a little bit. As Bill put it, he was conspicuous. But he also knew that it's not polite to look down when you're in the front row. You got to look up. And Bill didn't want to. But he knew he had to. So he looked up. But what did he see? He saw 100 people, each with a lit candle, standing in the shape of a cross in the middle of the sanctuary. And Bill knew those people had been praying for him for 3 days. And if you were to ask Bill, nobody ever prayed for him. But they'd been praying for him for 3 days. But then he felt 200 arms wrapped around him real tight, holding him, caressing him, and telling him, "You will never be alone again." And then Bill realized instantly, he will never be alone again. He was living alone, being alone, feeling alone, but he'll never feel alone, be feeling alone again, just because he saw what was there. Now those two thugs that moved Bill from the back row to the front row, You have to ask them why they did it. Bill knows God told them to. But you have to ask Dave Sauer and Ron Gotch, why did they do that? And they are two thugs. I mean, they weren't polite about it. They just picked him up and moved him. But again, God came down and changed Bill's life. Solved another problem of feeling alone. Because like I say, he was still going through his divorce. And that's a lonely feeling. But he doesn't feel alone anymore. Not after that day. And now the last episode that Bill had of these problems was this past May 18th, 8:30 in the morning. So he didn't know he had this big burden on his shoulders until that day. He knew his marriage was going to end. It did end on June 2nd. It would have been 33 years, August 5th. But he knew it was going to end. But at 8:30 that morning, he felt instant weightlessness because God came down and took that burden off his shoulders. And it was when he realized that, yes, he's going to be single. And he realized also that he could accept it. He was at peace with it, that he was going to be single. God came down again and solved the problem for Bill. And that changed his life from that time on. Now, Bill knows that God has a plan for all of us, has a purpose. He knows, he thinks part of his plan for God is to write poetry. Because Bill didn't write poetry till February 17th, 2009. Because after that day that he spoke, he drove to a parking lot, sat there in his car, and his car was not that much bigger than mine. And he wrote for 8 solid hours. Hardest thing he ever wrote in his life. He wrote a book in 74, but that is no comparison. But he wrote, and you have it in your bulletin, it's the one, it's either the first or second one. It's the one that's listed as Finding the Unknown Soul. I'd say it's the hardest thing he ever wrote in his life. Now, he's also written some other things, and he always passes his writings on to his first therapist, because without his first therapist helping him in 2010, he would not have survived the summer. He was really having problems. So he passed on his poems that Pastor Steve read at Christmas time to her, and she wrote back. And you have to realize too that those with depression, even if it's under control with medication, taking compliments are kind of hard. And her 2 compliments have been very hard for Bill to accept. He knows and appreciates what she said, but it's just hard for him to imagine that he's done these things. But she wrote back, "I am so happy to hear your words were shared with others. They are a gift to all." Bill writes because he loves to write. He's not trying to reach out and touch somebody. But he realizes that his poems have. He appreciates that. He's glad that they've helped others. But that's not why he writes. But as he gave her some more of his poetry, she wrote back again, And this one's really hard for Bill to take. She says, "You are making a difference," meaning he's making a difference for others, not just himself. Because she can see in his writings how well he's getting along with life and so forth. And again, she wrote back that you are making a difference, which is one of the greatest blessings in life. That's the part that's hard for Bill. But he does appreciate her thoughts all the time. Now, she said God has a plan for Bill. Not sure what it is. But why did he go to the clinic up in Tacoma, Washington? Get his head checked. Name of the clinic's the Amen Clinic. That's kind of poetic all by itself. It's named after Dr. Daniel Amen. It comes out of Southern California, started the clinics 25 some odd years ago. Why does Bill all of a sudden write poetry? He never wrote poetry. He never read it. He faked it in high school. But he enjoys it. And he's touched some others. And he enjoys that too. Why is he all of a sudden single? That one's the hard one right now for Bill. But he'll find out. He knows that God will tell him. And Bill knows that those four times that God came down and solved his problems. Once with Cheryl Brown, another time with those two thugs of Dave Sauer and Ron Gotch. It changed his life all four times. And he appreciates it. He doesn't want to go back to the way he was before those times. But Bill's also now in a different frame of mind. He's in a world of self-discovery. Found his soul a little over 2.5 years ago. Deep in that cave. God found it and brought it to the surface of life. He's trying to find out who he is. Now, he's got a long list already of who he is. But he knows he's not done. Not finished at all. It's a long list, but more to go. And he knows that when he does finish that list, he will call his first therapist up and go party. She has helped him tremendously. And two other things that 6 months ago never would have entered Bill's vocabulary at all. Period. Nada. And I'm sure all of you would agree with Bill that doesn't even equate with Bill. He joined the choir a few weeks ago. And that's almost an oxymoron by itself. But Bill, well, he auditioned just to prove that he couldn't sing. That didn't work. But so he's joined the choir and he enjoys it. Enjoys the camaraderie, enjoys the fact he's trying something different in his life. Because if you ask his two sons, he doesn't sing. But he enjoys trying. And he's also taken up yoga. And that's even more of an oxymoron with Bill. But he knows that he doesn't have balance in his life yet. And he knows that yoga could give him that inner peace and inner balance that he doesn't have. So he's going to give it a try. See what happens. We'll know at some point. He'll let us know at some point whether it's worked for him or not. But what does Bill want you to take home tonight? Hopefully not tired buns, but just the fact that we all need to keep our eyes and ears open and our hearts open because God can touch us at any time, any moment through others and not, and just be ready. Thank you.